Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution, or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on Om Times Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meets. My name is Martha. I'm a clinical sexologist with a doctorate in human sexuality, and I'm from Eros Coaching. That's EROSCoaching.com. And I had originally had a guest scheduled, and they are called C and D, and it's just the initials of their name. And for some reason, I don't know why, I've been contacting them, and they are not coming on. They're not online, so I don't know what's going on. But the show has to go on. Our show is always live, and I assure you that I have a great show planned for today. But let me give you a little bit of a backstory. Earlier last week, I did this Make Love Week with my colleague Robbie Vergal, and I released 7 different videos as part of this Make Love Week. So it's over 7 days, 1 week, Make Love Week. And I release different videos relating to love and relationships and, of course, communication. And so I thought for this show, I'll just do a quick summary of each one of my little videos, the nuggets, the gems of gold. And also, as a sexologist, for the last 7 years, I've been working with all kinds of couples and really started to get an insight to the inner workings of relationships and also love. And so I thought that this episode could focus very much on relationships and love. If you want to watch every single one of the videos that I released over Make Love Week last week, that was May 14 to 21st, then you can go to my website and you'll find this under my blog. And the post is called Videos for Second Make Love Week, and you'll find it. So without further ado, let me go into what is love. And it is believed that love is so much more than what we know of in the traditional sense, because, you know, that's love that we have from our friends, from our family. And what happens is I work with couples who overcome multiple obstacles and choose to stay together. And some of the obstacles that I've seen with my clients includes being in the midst of a crisis or transition. For instance, having found out that their partner cheated on them, an extramarital affair, healing from different kinds of indiscretions, like, for instance, different, like texting someone or emotional affair. Also, if they're grieving over the loss of a family member, that can cause a lot of issues in the relationship, as well as adjusting from migration, relocation, or when interracial couples get together. Or I work with clients who move from India to Singapore, or on top of having to deal with this adjustment, they are also is in an arranged marriage, and so there are more challenges than that. And one of the things that happens is there are also other things going on top of that. There's work stress, there's cultural differences, miscommunication, which is very much linked to why they come to me. And I'm not addressing the root cause. They are asking me to address the symptom, and the symptom is actually sexual anxiety, disconnection from love and intimacy, and actually underlying all that is all these other stresses and challenges that they're facing. And so let's not forget that there are also other times when there are issues relating to physical challenges, such as health condition, major illnesses, menopause or andropause, which is the male equivalent of menopause, and medication and antidepressants. They can really hamper sexual desire. And Since sex is viewed as often the physical expression of love, the lack of sex can make the partner feel not loved and unaccepted. So this is where love, sex, and intimacy are interrelated. And of course, let's also look into how unequal power dynamics. For instance, someone is the breadwinner, the other person is a homemaker, and so they're financially dependent on the other. There are even cases of couples who work alongside each other in the same company, and this can be quite challenging when there's already power dynamics going on in the day, and then in the night, this just contributes to resentment. There's unspoken expectation, traditional male-female roles that we have to grapple with. And so there's lots of challenges. And so in May 14, I released this PowerPoint with based on an essay on how I see clients who choose to continue working through their challenges. And one of the big things is the importance of taking steps to be whole and complete within ourselves. As much as we point out to our partner and we say that they triggered us, in reality, if we ourselves feel whole and complete, we wouldn't get triggered in the first place. If we feel confident within ourselves and we know who we are and what we stand for, then it's less likely for us to start going into blame or shame so as to perhaps control them so that we feel safe. So these are some of the things that can come up. So this saying, you need to learn how to love yourself before you can love another person, certainly rings true. Some of the ways in which you can work on yourself is to exercise extreme self-care, taking care of yourself so that you come from a place of health and wellness, that on top of the self-care, it's more about self-love. So it's really taking steps to love yourself. And this can involve going on a date with yourself. Making commitment to honesty is number 3. Number 4, being open to intimacy. Number 5, just being nice. Sometimes we forget, we take the beloved, the people closest to us for granted, and we show our worst side. We throw temper tantrums and we verbally, physically, sometimes emotionally abuse our partners, and it's just not healthy. So these are some things that you can look into when it comes to looking into being able to be focused on love. So that's one of the videos that I released as Make Love Week. Another video that I released answered the question of how often do most people have sex. So how often do you think most people have sex? I have clients who come to me and say they're not having as much sex as other people. They talk to their friends or they form certain deductions, and they feel that they cheated out of life because they have less sex from their friend. And sometimes it's not even a real conversation they have with someone. Sometimes it's a projection or assumption that other people are having more sex than you. So how often do most people have sex? Okay, let me answer this question. I'm from Singapore, and a lot of people work really, really long hours, sometimes 12 hours. They're doing like jobs of a few people at work, and it's everybody's time pressed, and they work longer hours than they would like. And so a lot of my clients actually say that it's impossible for them to have sex on a weekday. After work, they're just completely shattered, you know, hackered. And then on top of that, there's housework, there's kids, there's other family obligations. And so one of the things that happens with a lot of my clients is that they're actually having sex probably once a week. And some couples have sex twice a week, and that's pretty normal. And for longer term couples, they sometimes have sex every other week. And statistically, it's been proven, this research has said, a lot of couples actually have sex on average around every 10 days. So I just want to let you know that just because other people are doing it in this way doesn't mean you have to do it that way. And everyone is different. We have different personalities, different needs, wants, desires, and we definitely shouldn't be comparing. It's not really positive to us, and this understanding that we are fundamentally individuals. So that answers the question, how often do most people have sex? How do we make time for sex? It's very important to schedule time for this to happen. And I have even just recently somebody who emailed me and said they don't feel they should continue sessions with me because their partner feels that it's uncomfortable to talk about sex when sex is supposed to be something that is spontaneous. Let me tell you, we make time and we schedule time for things that are important to us. We make time to book a movie ticket. We certainly make arrangements to arrange for flowers on our wedding day, and we arrange the logistics of it, the sitting, the chauffeur, the makeup artist, this, that, and the other. And somehow scheduling time for sex makes it less special and romantic. And I just can't wrap my head around people who have multiple challenges and still making the assumption that they should just miraculously wait for everything to just fall into place and to be able to have sex. This is really a thinking that doesn't serve anybody at all. I'll talk more about this after the break.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance. Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Eros Evolution. You're listening to this show on the OM Times Radio Network, and you can share this show with your friends by going to the link omtimes.com/mobile. Today's episode is exploring the link between love, sex, and intimacy. And I've been sharing the videos that I created for Make Love Week that I celebrated with my colleague Robbie Vergal. And this was in conjunction with Masturbation Month in the month of May. Masturbation Month is an event that was created in the U.S. on the occasion of Southern General Jocelyn Elders being fired from her job for saying that masturbation is a normal sexual act. And in retaliation or in celebration, the sex shop, Good Vibrations, decided to earmark May as Masturbation Month. And so this is something that I celebrate in Singapore. And if you're interested to get my 15 free resources related to Masturbation Month, you can go to arrowscoaching.com/masturbationmonth. And it's completely free, 15 different resources, videos that I created and added to over the years. And so this is the fourth year that I'm making something of this. And Make Love Week is just something extra that I've created as part of Masturbation Month this year. So I've talked about video number one and two that I created for Make Love Week. And now I want to go into video number four that I actually started to talk about. Video number three, sorry, which was Making Time for Sex. And I talked about just now, just before the break, the importance of being able to understand the importance of scheduling so that we make that time to create a space, a time, and we earmark that time and we guide it, and it makes it sacred. Anything can be sacred with intention, and sex can be a form of ritual as well. And you can perform magic with adding in sex and intention. And how is all that things going to happen? The candles, the music, the clean rooms don't just show up. We need to make time for it. And so making time for sex can be really important. So in video number four, I talked about how important is it to be in the right frame of mind for sex. And in that video that I made, I go into quite a bit of length to talk about the male-female differences generally in people who are born in male-female bodies. And generally, people in male bodies have higher testosterone. And people who are not have less testosterone. Biological females do have testosterone, just less. And so one of the things that happens when you have less testosterone is you have less of this drive. And so when you have this body over mind, it's kind of like a primal urge to have sex. However, when it comes to a lot of heterosexual women that I work with, they actually feel that they are feeling really stressed and are tired and having anxiety, and they find that they have difficulties compartmentalizing work and personal life. And so they don't feel that they are in the right frame of mind for sex. They find it difficult to just switch their active mind or monkey brain off and just go into sex. And I find that this is actually something that requires training of the brain to do that. Just like anything, if we practice, it actually does get easier. However, if we don't try, we don't realize that it's actually possible. For a really long time, I couldn't manage my mood swings, and they were very much linked to my periods. And what happened was, through practice, by sheer default of necessity, I actually learned that I could and I wanted to. And over time, it became easier to manage my emotions as an adult, where your temper tantrums, your mood swings are just not acceptable, and it causes a lot of stress and tension in relationships and the people around you suffering. And so learning over time that I can control and manage my emotions, and through sheer adaptation, learning how. So similarly, when it comes to sex, people say they cannot, but they didn't really try. And for people who try and it doesn't work, it doesn't mean that it's never going to work. Maybe you are not getting the responses that your body really would be if you were relaxed. Some of the things that can help us be more relaxed, be in the right frame of mind more quickly is rituals. Doing things in a similar setup, although it may come across as boring at times, it actually supports us in having more of the familiar and less of the unknown. And so this creates a form of safety, especially when you already have other things going on in your mind. It's easier to just transition from being in your head to being in your body. Rituals certainly help. Some of the things that really helps you be in the right frame of mind, for instance, is also moving slowly. Soft touch, slow touch actually helps to calm down our nervous system, which in turn helps us to use our brain to be able to be more relaxed more quickly, and from there be able to be more open to having physical intimacy or sex. Reader number 5, can the lack of intimacy be revived? When we want to talk about lack of intimacy, we need to first address the different types of intimacy. There's actually, we often assume intimacy meaning emotional intimacy. You feel close with someone. You feel close with someone doesn't necessarily mean that you are having sex or are expected to have sex with someone. So, for instance, if I run a tantra workshop, or if I have a workshop that involves a lot of heartfelt sharing, people in the group generally feel really close to each other. And so there's an emotional intimacy that is created. It doesn't mean that the people who are sharing from the heart feel like having sex with each other or necessarily are romantically attracted to each other. They just feel really close to each other. So that's emotional intimacy. Then there's physical intimacy. People just use physical intimacy as a word to replace sex. Physical intimacy to me is not sex. Sex can be a part of physical intimacy, but physical intimacy is not necessarily about sex. Physical intimacy, for instance, in the terms of like hugging, you can feel really close to someone. Caressing someone can make you feel really physically close to someone without the penis in vagina kind of sexual experience that we come to associate physical intimacy with. Okay, so that's emotional intimacy, that's a physical intimacy, and then there's intellectual intimacy. People who are engaged in debates, people who have philosophical discussions, really find themselves really stimulated, having this meeting of minds can really make people feel really close to each other. So I can understand this can happen. And so that's the other form of intimacy that we need to acknowledge. And then there's our body, mind, heart. And now we want to talk about spiritual intimacy. Spiritual intimacy can happen when people have joint experiences together. And if you're really close with everybody. So for instance, you go to church, you sing and worship God, and you pray together, you feel really close. You feel spiritually connected and probably in spiritual union with the entire group. That's a form of intimacy as well. Spiritual intimacy doesn't just refer to religious experiences. I've had experiences on the dance floor where I feel that, you know, like there's this music and everyone's grooving or dancing together, jumping up and down together. Everyone's kind of doing modern day aerobics on the dance a lot together, and suddenly you just feel like everybody's energies are kind of just merging. And so spiritual intimacy doesn't necessarily just mean being in a religious context. People who are engaged in tantra and the group engaged in certain experiences of breathing and eye gazing, they can actually feel spiritually really connected with each other as well. So having talked about all the different types of intimacy, can the lack of intimacy be revived? And the answer is yes. So one of the things that you can do is there is a lack because there's probably a shortage of something, and it could be not doing some of the things that you used to do. If you did some of the things that you used to do, perhaps that intimacy will be revived. And sometimes even if you do the same things, that sense of intimacy is not revived. So it's a matter of maybe letting go of what used to work in the relationship and being open to new experiences. One of the things that happens with a lot of my clients is that they grieve the loss of something that they had in the past, the honeymoon phase, the courtship period, and they move into another phase in their relationship and they miss that. And they wish they had it back and they want it back and they try to get it back. And one of the things that happens when you try and it doesn't work is maybe it's one of those things that you need to let go of and let it evolve into something else. Letting something evolve into something else doesn't necessarily mean it's better or worse. It could be worse, it could be better. We like to put labels in better or worse. How about just acknowledging that it's just different? It's just different. And so the intimacy that you experience with your partner might be different because you're at a different life stage of your life. And your partner and you are actually different people as well. And sometimes we forget, and it's important to do a stock check as well. And also to reflect and acknowledge what you've gone through. Perhaps you need a time to grieve and let go, and being in acceptance of what used to be and what is not no longer possible is part of being able to let it move into something else that may be different, but may actually be really nice. So, okay, that's video number 5 that I released for Make Love Week, which you can get if you go to my website under blog. And you go to arrowscoaching.com, click blog, and you'll find this post that I created with all these 7 different videos. And now in video number 6, I talk about how you can touch your partner. And in video number 7, I talk about how you can communicate about sex. And in video number 8, which was a bonus video, how we can get past cheating. And so I'm going to go more into this after the break. We have a break in 1 minute. And this week has been really pretty amazing. I'll tell you more about it after this break.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times. Co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, this is Julie Keigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Lori Walker.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OhmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in the beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
What's up? This is Brad and Mike from Linkin Park for Lifebeat, the music industry fights AIDS. Listen up, times are tough and you get a lot of things thrown your way. If you're being pressured to have sex and you're not ready, then say no. If you're having sex, be smart and use protection. Respect yourself and protect yourself.
For more information, call the National AIDS Hotline at 1-800-342-AIDS or log on to www.lifebeat.org.
And welcome back to today's show. Today we're talking about love, intimacy, and sex. And I've been sharing the 7 or actually 8 videos that I released as part of Make Love Week that happened in May 14 to 21st. And I did it in conjunction with Masturbation Month in May. Did it with my colleague, Robbie Vergal, and she's in Massachusetts, Boston, I believe. And I've been sharing some of the videos and basically summarizing them so as to illuminate and draw light to relationships and love. And now I'm in video number 6. And in this video, I talked about how should I touch my partner. And I'm just making a big generalization here. And it has to do with differences. I see a lot of differences in the couples who are attracted to each other. Opposites attract, and I don't necessarily mean people who are heterosexual. Opposites tend to attract. One person might be an introvert, One person might be an extrovert, one might be a morning person, one might be a night person, one might be a touch person, one might be a non-touch person. One might be a neat person, one might be a messy person. And these are the things that starts to really chip away at the love that they have. So when it comes to touch, and I get asked this question, how should I touch my partner? It's really important to understand the way you like to be touched is not necessarily going to be the way your partner likes to be touched. And sometimes I do come across couples who like the exact same touch, the exact same way, but it's not often. We are individuals, and so we would like different things generally. And in order to touch your partner in a way that feels good to your partner, you need to ask. We often make assumptions based on past experiences. Oh, this worked with my past partner. This person liked it. I just do the same thing. I can't go wrong. Well, you can, because this person is a different person. And so we make assumptions based on past experiences, and we go into automatic mode. So getting feedback is really important. And so how do you touch your partner? You can play with the speed, the pressure, the rhythm, and to err on the caution, you may want to start by touching your partner softly first. And then you ask your partner, how is the pressure? Would you like me to be harder? And then you get a sense of the pressure that your partner likes. And what happens with a lot of people is that they feel they need to be aroused first so that they can take harder pressure. So I generally would recommend you start off with softer, gentler, slower pressure, and then start to increase the pressure. And often a lot of people put up with touch that doesn't feel that great, and they only speak up when the touch is painful. And so when your partner says something like, oh, stop, it's painful, or ouch, or that hurts, well, this is when they've already gone to too much. Instead of catching them where it is actually painful for them, get them to speak up sooner. Encourage them to speak up sooner. So this is the difference between coming from a culture that has a lot of repression and suppression of emotions, and so we are very conscious about being polite. And this is, of course, not just Asians. There are a lot of people, Europeans, Americans, people of all races, nationalities, ethnicity, who are brought up to be very polite. And we brought up to be pleasers. And so we don't speak up sooner. And so if you have a partner who doesn't really speak up and tends to come across as a bit harsh in their communication when it comes to sex, like when they open their mouth and say something that's never anything good, you want to encourage them to speak up sooner. And you want to maybe do what I call bossy massage. Bossy massage is what happens when it's one way, your partner needs to ask for every single thing, and then you do it. And so one is the giver, one is the receiver. The receiver gets to order the giver. And this is really useful for somebody who doesn't really speak up. And this is like an opportunity for them to practice asking for what they want. And with practice, it does get easier for the person who doesn't usually ask for what they want or has difficulty speaking up. And in bossy massage, it's really useful because if your partner is not very assertive, and also is not very comfortable or confident with their bodies, being able to provide that opportunity for them to ask for what they want and to get exactly what they want can be such a life-changing experience for them, because they really get it. They really understand it in their body by the doing. Oh my God, it feels so good when I get exactly what I want. And how can I expect my partner to know what I want if I don't say it? And so all this like second guessing, resentment, anger, what I call like passive aggressive behavior, can actually just stop right at its footsteps. just stop that vicious cycle of second guessing each other and being really scared and tiptoeing around each other and getting like more and more insecure and having less confidence in yourself. So these are some ways in which you can practice touch. There's the communication, there's soft touch, and then I mentioned a bossy massage, and also a little bit about how this is linked to communication. So in video number 7, I talked about how do I communicate about sex. There are many ways in which people can communicate about sex. One of the things that happens about people who can't communicate about sex openly and honestly is there's this lack of practice. We don't usually talk about sex to our family, and we certainly sometimes don't even talk about sex with our friends. And if we haven't had practice talking about sex, we haven't had practice, and so we are not very comfortable talking about sex. And perhaps even the best communicators who can talk about all kinds of topics, even controversial topics like religion or all kinds of other things like politics or Donald Trump, they may not be comfortable talking about sex because they haven't had practice. They haven't felt safe to really speak up. And when it comes to sex, there's all these terms about anatomy that we're not sure about the pronunciation, and we sometimes don't even know the different parts of our own anatomy. And so how do we talk about it when we feel inadequate? And so the lack of sex education really does a number on all of us. And as a sexologist, one of my training was becoming desensitized about sex, becoming able to talk about sex in a straight face, being able to normalize sexual behaviors, and being able to also be really comfortable with my sexuality. It's all part of my training. And so the ease in which I have learned to be with sex, talk about sex, is certainly different for most people. However, it's become so easy for me because I've practiced. It was important for me to be good in sex. I wanted to not suck in bed, and so I wanted to learn. And some people didn't start off being good at it, and then they start feeling that they're not gifted, and therefore they don't learn, and they don't try, and they don't get better, and things don't improve, and then sex becomes really, really awkward and difficult. And there are people who then subsequently avoid sex. So communicating about sex involves being able to talk about not just the physical aspects, but also your feelings around it. A lot of people think that they need to know a lot about sex to be able to talk about it. And there are people who don't know what to talk about. They don't know what they want. They don't know where to begin. And they don't know what to ask for. So one of the things that I like to suggest here is you are your biggest teacher. We doubt ourselves. We doubt our feelings, our thoughts, and the way we feel in our body. What if the way you think, feel, and feel in your feel emotionally, what you think mentally, and what you feel in your body physically, what if there is no wrong answer? What if the way you feel is the way you feel? And you don't dismiss the way you feel, and you communicate the way you feel. And based on that, just based on that, forget about the sex books or the sex gurus or the sex coach or the sex advice, and just be your own guide. Just guide your pleasure based on your own sensations in your body. So whatever it is that you start off doing, and you need to start somewhere, just start. And from there, you just keep checking in. What will make it better? What else would I like? Would I like more of this? Would I like less of this? Would I like something else? Do I want to try something different? It is entirely up to you. You can be your own sex coach. And the easiest way to do that is to just keep checking in with yourself so that you know, this is what I feel and this is what I think I would like to try. And I don't know whether it's going to work. I don't know what I'm going to feel. But I just want to try. And so it's having that childlike curiosity and that playfulness that a lot of times we kind of lost as mature adults. And sometimes when you lose all that, sex is no longer fun. It's not lighthearted. It becomes really serious. And that's when people ask me questions along the lines of, what's the proper way to have sex? What's the normal frequency? What's the normal duration of penetration? What's the normal this, normal that? What's the average? And so we get caught up with comparing with other people's experiences. And I certainly find this to be true. And in the next video, I talk about how do we get past cheating. A lot of couples, contrary to what people believe, even with cheating, they do not actually end the relationship because they have lots of memories, they have this strong foundation, they have values, they have things that tie them together in the relationship that makes the relationship worth staying in, such as property, such as kids. And one of the things that happens when cheating happens is you really need to reestablish boundaries. Was there communication that wasn't clear? What went wrong? Was there lessons that we can get from this? Reestablish boundaries. And then look for ways in which you can build trust. See if there are areas in which both of you need to grow up in. And perhaps seek out counseling if needed. A lot of people I know of sweep things under the carpet and 10 years later find that they was having less and less sex over the years and get to a point 10 years later after the affair, still bearing a grudge, resentment, anger, to the point that they cannot even bear their partner touching them anymore. And that's because what happened 10 years ago was never really fully and properly addressed. And sometimes it manifests in their body in the form of illnesses and health body breakdowns. I've seen this. And so it's important when things come up, address them. It takes people who are brave to do it. And I certainly trust that you guys are capable of doing that. So we have a break and we'll come back after this.
The best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Join me, Tammy Adams, intuitive life coach and spiritual healer, for my new show, Karma Talk. Learn how to get rid of your karma so that you can start living the life you are meant to live. I am not going to tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Join me on Wednesday at 12 p.m. Eastern Time for Karma Talk on Om Time Radio.
It's on us to stop sexual assault.
To get in the way before it happens.
To get a friend home safe.
And to not blame the victim.
It's on us.
To look out for each other.
To not look the other way.
It's on us to stand up.
To step in.
To take responsibility.
It's on us, all of us,
to stop sexual assault.
Learn how and take the pledge at itsonus.org.
Welcome to the last 15 minutes of today's show. And just before the break, I managed to summarize every single one of the videos that I released as part of Make Love Week, May 14 to 21st. And you can find the videos on my website. There's eroscoaching.com under blog, and you'll find that post with eight different videos, actually, with one bonus video. And you'll be able to watch them because I've already summarized them in my own way for today's show. However, you may want to watch them, and you may want to be able to share the videos with your partner or friends and be able to discuss them. So use them as a way to discuss or debate. And of course, I would love to hear from you and to hear what you have to share as well. And you can always contact me at drmasterlee@eroscoaching.com. And also, I've not sure if you know this, I've been releasing one video every day since March, I believe, since March. And so one of the things about finally being able to figure out Zoom is how easy it is to make videos. And also I have now like little lights to help the lighting be better. And so I've taken it upon myself to basically release more educational videos so as to help more people. So these videos are completely free. They're always educational, and they're always going to be on my YouTube channel. And so you would get the latest ones by going to my YouTube channel. And my YouTube channel is DR Master Lee. So you just look for it. I can give you the link now. It's youtube.com/user/DR Master Lee. And every day I'm releasing one video. And this month has been masturbation month, so I've released a lot of videos relating to orgasms and masturbation, and those videos are really popular. And I'm going to release more relating to communication and touch soon. And I want to have your questions so that I can make more videos. And I want to make videos that are specific to your questions. And I want to help more people. It's as simple as that. And I believe in having a two-way communication. And if you've been listening to my radio show for the last 2 years, and I don't know everybody who's listening to my show, I would love to hear from you. And let me know if you have like certain books or reviews or movie reviews or books or guests that you would like me to have on the show. And maybe you want to nominate your book or your movie or yourself for my show. I'm completely open to all the different possibilities. And I've basically covered the essential things that I wanted to cover in today's show. I still have a little bit of time, so I want to talk a little bit very quickly about some of the news that really was in the media, this week especially, and also last week. Okay, so this week, yesterday actually, one of the things that, 2 days ago, was that Taiwan actually announced that they're going to make same-sex marriages legal. So the High Court basically ruled that discrimination on same-sex couples is illegal. And so they're going to start the process of legalizing same-sex marriages. And this is huge news because this is Asia, okay? We are Asians. We don't even talk about sex, much less same-sex marriages. And so this is like really something that is worth celebrating. And this was two days ago. And then one day before that, which is the 23rd of May, I was shocked to read this news about how two homosexuals in Indonesia, Aceh, were caned in public. And it's not just like caning them on their hands, okay? It's caning them on their body. And they had 86 strokes per person. And so, of course, everybody's like outraged because this is like going to be the start of like worst things to come. And I have been like keeping tabs of what's happening with Indonesia for a while now. And so I quickly got my virtual assistant I have to give her some credit, my virtual assistant, to pull together a little timeline, and you can find it on my website. So in this timeline, I titled it Persecution of Homosexuals in Indonesia. And so I started by talking about the news, and then I showed the timeline of how things started escalating since December 2014, and essentially what happened. And even though, there were communities that spoke out, including the Human Rights Watch, but still this public caning took place earlier this week. And I'm glad that some organizations has spoken out against it. And I have put on my website some resources, and including my past videos of me expressing my view about homosexuality. And I added my little stand about this thing, even though I'm in Singapore, and Singapore is not part of Indonesia or China, okay, mind you. But we are Asians and we are in the ASEAN region, and I felt like I needed to say something as a sex educator, especially since a lot of people are not very exposed to this topic. I mean, we read the news and then we forget that, but you can actually see the developments in my little timeline. And it's important that we get educated about this. And last week in Singapore, it was announced that we have this little event in Singapore called Pink Dot. It started, I don't know, like 7 years ago, where they got people to basically come all dressed in pink and make a little dot. And this pink dot was to mark the end of discrimination towards love. Like, all of us just like celebrate love. And then over the years, it started to gain a momentum of itself. And now Pink Dot is actually being run in different cities around the world. And so Pink Dot started from Singapore. So we have this little part in Singapore where you can do like your rallies and protests and make speeches against the government in the name of freedom of speech. But it's all very like strict. You have to first give a copy of your script. You have to make an appointment to make it. You have to have permission to make it at the time that you say you want to make it. And then you make the speech. Seriously, like, it's a lot of work just to make a speech in a park. So you have to have a license as well to do this campaigning on this park. And last year they changed the public order law, and now previously foreigners could watch, and now foreigners are not allowed to assemble on this park, which we call Speaker's Corner, which is very different from the London Speaker's Corner. Okay, let me tell you that you can't just stand on a box and start speaking. You need to have a permit to speak, and you need to speak at a time that you said you would speak, not a minute earlier or later, I don't know. But it's really strict. And so now foreigners are not allowed to be there. And so the organizers of Pink Dot this year have told the public, told foreigners, stay away. And it's really unfair. It's a park. Like, how can you stop people from coming in? Like, seriously, like, it's so ridiculous. Anyway, I'm really upset about it, of course. And so that's that. And then last year, when we had the Pink Dot last year, government came out and said foreigners should not sponsor Pink Dot. Foreigners, meaning like foreigners, people who are not Singaporeans, and foreign companies are not supposed to sponsor Pink Dot. And so what actually happened was now local companies are sponsoring Pink Dot. Singaporeans are sponsoring Pink Dot. People who feel that the GLBT, the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community in Singapore is being discriminated and persecuted in the most highly sophisticated intellectual way are now coming forward. So thanks to the government for their, I don't know what you call, guerrilla legal warfare against GLBT, more people are coming to become aware that discrimination does exist, and equality in the true sense of the word does not exist. So homosexuality is illegal in Singapore, And I'm speaking out against it because I'm Singaporean and I've been following the news the last 2 weeks. And I thought that this is a chance for me to speak up and speak out against this on today's show. And so in Eros Evolution, we always talk about the link between sex and spirit. And I have talked about sex and spirit many, many times in different ways and forms. I just want to say our spirit is very much tied to our soul. And when you hurt people and you not let them be themselves, you're killing their spirit. And nothing hits them more than telling them that the most natural thing about ourselves, the way we want to express ourselves, is not right. So that's, in a nutshell, is Eros Evolution for today. A little bit different. And next week, I have Animated Sex with Dr. Jacob Hasteltiel and his German. And it's going to be a different show next week. So stay tuned. And in the meantime, stay well, stay happy. And I love all of you. And I want to hear from you. Goodbye. Have a great week ahead.